Sorry.
What's up? No, you're good.
Sorry for the late start. It was your fault and then it was my fault.
Yes. It was a tag team fault.
Tag team fault. A double fault divorce.
You don't have the dreaded.
No, I don't know. I got a dog. That's supposed to be a hypoallergenic breed, mm-hmm. but whenever you bring stuff in, period, there's going to be an increase in stuff because it's going to pick up, dust and stuff from outside.
Sure.
And probably other dogs, and there's just an adjustment period. So it's been overall fine, but like a couple of days before he came home, I had like a really sore throat and like real hoarse voice.
Mm-hmm.
Like with an A, not I'm a horse. I'm just a horse. Hey, Alan. No, it was cool because like I can usually tell if I'm sick because I can do the Optimus Prime. So like I went into my son's bedroom to get him up for school and I was like, Noah. And he was like, I saw him like smile.
Yeah.
Because I was doing it and I was like, I have a mission for you. I can't even do it now. Like I'm not as sick, but I was like,
yeah,
you have a mission. And he was like, what's my mission? I said, in order to save Cybertron, you must get dressed for school. And he was like, okay, Optimus Prime. And then he like came out like fully dressed and was like, Amelia, you're RC and you're a Ratchet and he's doing this whole thing.
Yeah.
And stuff. So, and then when we left in the van, he was like, let's roll out. And I said, roll out.
Roll out.
Yeah. It was pretty awesome. Kind of makes me wish I was sick every day.
Right.
Or just took up smoking.
Yes. There you go.
Anyway, so the point is, I'm not sure if this is illness, if this is allergies, or if it's illness that is being exacerbated by allergies.
Could be any of them.
Yeah, so I've just sort of started taking Zyrtec and stuff. So,
gotcha.
It'll be an interesting. Yeah. It's been better an interesting adjustment period. We've had this dog for 5 days.
Okay.
God.
Yep.
Been sleeping.
It's a puppy, right?
It's a puppy. Like a tiny puppy. 6 week old puppy.
Yeah.
So
it's needy.
Housebreak it. He's not bad. Right now he's tethered to my desk. Mm-hmm. And he's over there sleeping. He's done eating for the day, so there's no more like, so there's just like, oh, do you maybe need to pee? But for the most part now he's just kind of hanging around. None of my kids are out.
Yep.
So he's finally chilling himself out and sleeping over there, or sitting at least, so.
Yeah.
He figured out though how to, if he pulls on this leash and like away from where I looped it. Mm-hmm. And if he lets go, it'll pop into the like zook mode and it might just retract itself away from my desk.
Ah.
He figured that out like yesterday.
Gotcha.
So
puppies are fun though, dude. They're little balls of energy that, never stop. And then eventually they mature and all of that and they mellow out a little bit, but those first few like weeks and stuff, those are fun, but they're a lot. Like I said, they're just balls of energy and there seems to be no end to it.
My wife said it's like having another baby that's also a toddler at the same time. It's like having another toddler on a baby schedule.
Yeah, pretty much.
The sleeping is terrible.
Yep.
And he won't sleep very well. He won't, he's in the crate and he's getting the separation anxiety and all that stuff.
Yep.
And then when he's out and about, well, he can move around and pee in places he's not supposed to pee in.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a whole thing. So that's, I've been adjusting to that.
Sure.
For the past few days. So yeah. Yeah. We'll see.
Gotcha. It's worth it. It's cool.
It was an unexpected acquisition. So, for me,
a hobbit's tale, unexpected acquisition.
I've bought your company. Get out. Anyway. All right. Speaking of acquisitions, this company makes a lot of acquisitions. Disney.
Yep.
So let's talk about Loki.
Okay.
Hobie? Hello? We have a little bit of a situation we wanted to run by you.
Tobias! Wow! Great to see you again!
That's what's been happening.
Wow! Time slipping.
Wait, time, you know that?
Yeah.
You've seen that?
Yeah.
Can you fix that?
No. It's impossible to time slip in the TVA.
I know, but we just saw it happen.
Yeah.
I've been pulled through time between the past and the present.
Hello?
If what I saw is true, there's nothing to stand between this world and utter destruction.
Only one way to find out. A little good old-fashioned legwork. Listen, we have different styles. You're a man of action, which is fine. I take a more slow, deliberate, cerebral approach.
It's really goodbye.
It's up to us to save this place.
Is this cracked?
Yeah, babe.
Whatever we do, we're playing God.
We are gods. But how do you choose who lives and who dies?
Make the hard choice.
It's him.
You better run!
War is on its way. Come on, you're the god of mischief. Always have been, always will be.
A little over the top, don't you think?
I thought it was spot on.
All right, so recently the second season of Loki was on Disney Plus. I watched it and then you watched it.
Yep.
And so here we are at the end of December. It's right before Christmas, actually, Dustin. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Early.
Yes. So, yeah, so this is the second season. I think we were all positive on the first season of Loki.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's fun. It's, you know, different and interesting. And
I'll go on record. I think Loki season one is the best TV series Marvel had produced.
You liked it more than WandaVision?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, I think it overall is. Yeah.
WandaVision fell apart big time for me at the end.
Sure.
Big time.
Yeah, I like Loki a lot. So we've got the second season. And so the first season ends with this, you know, big cliffhanger that Loki is not in, you know, his timeline where Mobius and what's her name, B-15, remember him.
Yeah.
In this second season, it's another 6-episode season. Everyone's back, of course, and we've got this plot involving more directly Kang the Conqueror, or really Victor Timely, the bumbling scientist variant of Kang.
Yep.
Played by Jonathan Majors. We have this really fun new character, Ouroboros, played by Ki-Hui Kwan. Owen Wilson's back. Gugu Mbatha-Raw.
Oh wow. I'm back for another season. Okay.
Oh wow. More seasons. Wow.
Amazing.
Hey Loki. Wow.
How's it going? I want to sell you some jet skis. What color do you like? Green? Oh, excellent.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I saw that coming. Wow. Pick a different color. Wow.
How predictable. Wow.
You know what's weird? The higher definition cameras get and the older Owen Wilson gets, the more noticeable his broken nose is to me.
Yeah, right. Yes. Yes.
Close up with like high contrasting shadows and it looks like a fucking polygraph.
Yeah.
Anyway, sorry. Back to the substantive things I was saying. I like the second season of Loki. I was afraid that it would be terrible because everything lately is mid. Some of it's bad.
Yeah.
And some of it's good, but those are kind of exceptions at the moment. As we have long been talking about, the last thing we talked about Marvel on this, I think, was Secret Invasion. And that was not well received by yours truly.
Yeah. And I still never saw it.
Don't.
Okay.
Don't.
All right. I have no plans.
So, all right. Yeah, so I liked the second season of Loki. I think the show remains interesting. This show, although it's finished now, I believe. I don't think there are plans to do any more of it.
I don't think so.
So it remains, I say present tense, but it remained one of Marvel's worth it projects.
Mm-hmm.
There's several ways to watch all this content right now to keep up with Marvel. You can watch all of it, which is fine and probably the most informative thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
You can only watch the movies and just Google stuff you're missing.
Yep.
Or you can just go, you can just watch the shows that you think are interesting, ignore the ones that you don't think are interesting. There's some mixture, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think even the casual MCU person would enjoy Loki.
Yeah.
I think that for a show that did more with a character who had an ending, it's been one of those things that goes, wow, no, like this was a good idea. It was cool. Not only is this cool for Tom Hiddleston because he gets a paycheck and he gets to play Loki some more.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's good to see this side of Loki.
Yeah.
And it's good to see this side of the MCU. And it's good to put these plot elements in place because they both affect the overall story, but don't have to. There's nothing here that happens where I just go, well, wait a minute. So then how do you explain the blah, blah, blah? If anything, like having Loki where he is at the end of this series somewhat enables other things that could happen or don't have to happen ever. I don't want to say too much more without spoiling it for people, but I will say that if people were curious, if they were on the fence, I think it's good. I think it's proof positive that the experiment into streaming has not been an outright waste. This would have been strange as a film. But they said they always intended it to be a two-part story. Book one, book two.
I agree. I mean, I think that Loki season two is worthwhile. We can talk about spoilers in a minute, but I think that Loki season two is worthwhile. Loki as a series is worthwhile. And I think that part of that is because they allowed Loki to actually do something and have some growth, some character growth, but also they allowed this story to matter in the grand scheme of things.
Yeah.
And part of one of the things, one of the critiques that we've had shared, me especially, has been that nothing really seems to matter, or at least I don't understand it to. Like, maybe they can retroactively say that it did, but it doesn't feel like it did. And the whole Infinity Saga, it really felt like as things progressed, things actually kind of mattered more. And you never got the sense that any of it was wasted or any of it was pointless. And while I have not watched, maybe I've watched half of the Disney Plus series. I don't know. I'd have to go back and count them, but, I have not watched all of them by any stretch. And the ones that I have felt more like cul-de-sacs than like true, pieces to an important puzzle. And that to me is something that Loki really did well, was said, no, look, if we're going to tell the story, then it's going to matter in the grand scheme of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. And maybe in the most ultimate cosmic way. And so they really took big efforts to tell a story about a character, but also weave that character into the fabric of the universe itself. And I think that was a smart play. Because like you said, you can pick and choose at this point what you want to watch, or you can watch all of it. But one surefire way as a creator to make sure that your property that you've been assigned sticks out is to ensure that it has big, grand meaning in all things. And so, if you can tell a story that does that, then you certainly have the audience's attention. And so I think it was a very smart move to do that on their part. Yeah. I never felt like it was a waste of time, and I felt like all of it was, you know, worth it. And maybe more subjective note, it's fun. It was just fun to watch. And, you know, Ki Kwan is great, and Tom Hiddleston's always great. And so it was just a pleasure to watch. And I'm not going to say that it was like easy to watch in the sense of like simple,
right?
But it was easy to watch in the sense that it was watchable. And it's helped, of course, by the fact that I waited until it was all available and binged it,
yeah,
as opposed to, you know, everybody else who watched it week to week. I think had I watched it week to week, I might've grown a little more bored of it or less like eager to keep going. But the binge, I think, really helped, which of course goes to our conversation we've had many times about which model is better. And to me, at least in this case, I was helped out by watching it all at once. So for you, dear listener, who maybe have not watched this show yet and you're wondering, is it worthwhile? I'd say yes. And I'd say you're in a better position now because you can binge the whole thing. Whether you've seen any of it or just you haven't seen season two, you can binge this thing and devour it kind of in one fell swoop. And I think that you'll enjoy it better because of that. So yeah, good performances, good story that matters. And, I enjoy the characters. I enjoy, the fun that they have, the fun that the cast and crew are clearly having. And, I think it's really good overall and does something a little bit different from everything else that Marvel's been putting out. So that alone makes it worth it.
I thought it was really important that it was good because of Michael Waldron, who is now even more important to this whole saga wrapping up, because now he's writing both of those Avengers movies.
Yep.
As of what, last month?
Mm-hmm.
Which is fine. I don't know if there's two ways to look at that. Like, oh crap, like now he's going to be spread thin, but it's like, well, if they affect each other, I mean, like, I don't know. So if you look at it that way, like Michael Waldron is sort of one of those key people right now in what Marvel is right now because of, he wrote Multiverse of Madness. He managed this whole thing. He's a big part of, which one is it? Which one was he just announced to be working on? It was the Kang Dynasty, which is kind of weird that he wasn't writing that to begin with. Let's just get into spoilers. I'm trying to tiptoe and I'm not saying anything.
Yeah.
All right. So I thought it was really cool that, you know, at the beginning of this series, you have peak evil Loki.
Yep.
Even more evil than he was by the time he dies in Infinity War. Yep. Peak evil, maniacal, world conquering Loki, humbled, and sort of repurposed through his actions to someone who actually cares about things and people and about a system that's bigger than him. A fabric, you know, the fabric of time that's much more important than his ambitions.
Yep.
And not only did you get him there, but you got him to this somewhat like satisfying ending where he gets his throne. But it's not a warrior king throne. It's this, you're he who remains now.
Yeah.
Like you are the one at the end of time, keeping the sacred timeline stable now.
Yep. Yep.
I'm not sure how, other than turning things green.
I think I would need someone to explain to me exactly what happened, plot wise.
Yeah.
that got him there, other than just walking in there and touching everything and infecting him with his green.
Right.
But it works. I don't know. I don't know. How did you digest that specific story point?
Yeah, I think that,
I think it feels nice. I just have a hard time explaining what exactly I saw.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think I was going to say, just overall, the series itself, the logistics of it, I'm not sure I fully understand.
Right.
A lot of what's happening here, like how the time travel works in comparison to, you know, how it works in Avengers. It's weird. I don't know that I know how it works, but I enjoy it.
Yeah.
And I think it's fun to watch. So for me, yeah, at the end, especially, could I explain what happened? No, he uses his god powers to do things that nobody else could do because he's a god, but I don't understand it.
I almost wonder if it's just, is it the time slipping that is part of his unique ability to, like, is it the fact that he is this variant that has been allowed to continue to exist?
Yeah.
Similar to Kang, you know, that he has encountered and loved and somehow interfaced with himself. I don't know.
I mean, I think any theory is as good as any other. I would postulate something similar, that it's because he is essentially outside of all time.
Yeah.
He has nowhere to return to.
Yeah.
Nothing to go back to, that makes him unique in the multiverse. I don't know. Maybe that's it, or maybe it's just because he's a god, or maybe it's just because he willed it.
Yeah.
Or I'm really not sure. Like, I don't know what makes him unique. And for that matter, I never really knew what made that version of Kang unique. Just that they wanted to do what they did, and so they did.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm not sure. Because it begs the question, could Owen Wilson have done the same thing? Or did it have to be Loki? And
all of the timelines turn yellow.
I don't know. I don't know. I don't know.
I thought the time slipping was really cool. And then once he figured out how to do it at will, then the show got very cool.
Yeah.
Like, it went from like, this is interesting, to like, oh, this is going to be awesome. Now our main character is ahead of us a little bit. Like, you know, he's like, okay, I've got an idea. He goes back to the thing, and then, you know, the episode ends, and you're like, okay, cool. He's got a plan. Great. Because while it makes sense in shows, I get frustrated watching people fail all the time.
Yeah, sure.
It's like, okay, obviously that doesn't work.
We need to win one.
I have no bearing on what even would work or is likely to work. I have no context for everything they're trying, you know? Yeah.
I can't come up with an idea like, they could do this, because I don't even know.
Every time you've got something that involves time travel, it never hurts to do the Groundhog Day approach of, yes, it's going to be you because you know the thing. Oh, here's the loom. I've got it right here. You know, how long would I have to study to be an expert in quantum physics? And he's like, like a couple of centuries.
Yeah.
And so he just does that. And it's like, shit. Like, when you think about how much time our main character has experienced in this show.
Yep. Yep.
It's been several hundred years just in this season. In six episodes, Loki spends half a millennia just learning how science works so that he can pop up and do this one thing.
Yep.
And it's like, and shit, maybe that's why he's like, he's remembering something in chapter 19 of some obscure textbook.
Right. Exactly.
The Dharma Initiative wrote like,
chapter 19, grabbing all the tethers.
Yeah.
and walking.
Make sure not to drop them, because then they'll shatter and the world will end.
When you approach your throne, make sure to turn it gold.
If you do not, it won't look as cool and might not work.
Yes.
Watch out for tacks, because there are pranksters in the time room.
Chapter 20. Please look into the camera directly with a forlorn look.
Look through the fourth wall.
Yes.
Do not smile.
That's correct.
Yeah. I thought it was a cool ending. I'm not sure how I would have expected the show to end. I was somewhat afraid that they would have, something happened that like took away something in the main MCU timeline. Cause there's always that trouble. Like, let's make the show relevant by changing something so that people are forced to acknowledge that this exists. And,
and they
didn't do that. They had this thing going on where it's like, okay, all this stuff happened. If this never figured into the main MCU, MCU, the films.
Sure. Yep.
Then that would be fine, because why would anybody have known about this?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So it can exist without having to now be, without some writer 4 years down the road going like, fuck, now I have to, oh God.
I know.
And it can, but at the same time, if they wanted to bring in something from this, they totally could, including, Loki reuniting with Thor, which I would be interested in, to be honest.
Yeah.
I don't know to what extent.
Yeah.
I don't know. You
would be interested in that?
I would because
I would too.
Because this is an even more transformed Loki.
Yeah.
And a more advanced one.
I'll tell you this. I don't think that they should go on an adventure.
No, but he needs to stay where he is.
Yeah, he's got to stay where he is. But I do think that at some point there should be like this idea that like Thor has to travel to see somebody.
Yeah.
And like it's revealed that somebody is Loki.
Yeah.
And maybe we know it and it's a reveal to Thor only, or maybe it's a reveal to us too. But I do think it'd be cool for him to see this version of Loki.
Yeah.
And, I'm proud of you, brother, kind of thing. And, let that be it,
Yeah. Because this Loki's never gotten that acceptance and love from his brother that prime Loki did.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that'd be cool for him to get again and be at an even more of a capacity to receive it. Cause that's the only thing, like the prime Loki wasn't quite evolved enough, emotionally mature enough to, appreciate that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I liked, what'd you think of Jonathan Majors?
So I'm torn because I think he did a fine job.
So's the
jury. I think he did an okay job. I don't know that this was the right way to write this character. And this is what I keep coming back to is, the first time we see him, He Who Remains is interesting. Mm-hmm. He seems, cosmic. He's, all powerful, or at least all knowing. And and there's some mystique to him, and he dies. And that's a great way to start this thing.
Yeah.
But then the next time we see him, I guess, is Quantumania, right? And they fumbled the ball with that one pretty heavily, because they tried to make him menacing, but they couldn't allow him to succeed. So he gets beaten by Ant-Man alone. And that doesn't really bode well for him versus the Avengers. Then in the post credits on that, we see a ton of Kangs and they all look really silly.
Unless Paul Rudd's going to lead the Avengers, which would be hilarious.
Would be awesome. I'm being facetious. It would not be awesome.
please don't do that.
Please don't do that. And then, all the other variants look silly. And then we see this version and he's not intimidating. He's just like this bumbling dude. And I just want to be like, I don't understand. Like, do you want me to be scared of this guy or not? Because by the time all the Avengers, who I don't even know who's on that team anymore, by the time they all join forces to defeat him, we will have seen him be defeated a lot of times and we'll have seen a lot of versions of him that aren't particularly powerful. And I just don't understand the mentality of like, we're going to do another version, but this version's even more inept than the other versions. It had there been some clever twist, and I thought they were going to go there when, Miss Minutes and he, like push Gugu and Bathara, Renslayer off of the boat, you know, and like, mm-hmm. you know, put her in the lifeboat and like sail away
yeah.
together. And I'm like, oh, this is the twist. Like he's something else.
Yeah.
He's not this bumbling dude, but then he just was. And I was like, oh, okay. So the twist was that there's no twist. And that's what I just kept waiting on is like, I don't want to see him be a good guy and I don't want to see him be, you know, kind of like a loony character. I want him to be intimidating and I want him to scare me so that the Avengers are scared. And they're at the end of Quantumania. Did you ever see Quantumania?
Yes.
Okay. At the end of Quantumania, there's this idea that Scott Lang is really scared of the fact that he could come back.
Yeah.
And I don't feel that myself. So I can't share that fear. And I feel like I should.
You know, what they should have done in Quantumania, they should have killed Scott Lang.
Yeah. Sure. They should have killed somebody.
They set up stupidly, I'll say, but like they did set up in that movie that like, oh, dad, you never like put your ass on the line, you know, for a cause or whatever. Or something, even though it's not really true because that's literally what he has been doing for years. But whatever, that would have at least serviced that gripe by his daughter that he's not involved enough in issues.
Yeah.
So if especially considering that this is Jonathan Majors that he's fighting at the end of the movie, okay, like I know he gets some help from the Wasp, but like
yeah.
it would have made a lot more sense if Paul Rudd succeeds in keeping Kang out of or imprisoned in the quantum realm through some sort of like death, self-destructive thing.
Yeah.
Because one, we really don't need Scott Lang in order to access the quantum realm at this point. They're clearly yeah. doing stuff with Cassie. So it's not like we're going to lose the Ant-Man world or characters if Paul Rudd dies.
Yeah.
It doesn't make a whole lot of sense that he would physically prevail against Jonathan yeah. Majors. And right. it would have fulfilled some kind of character arc. He's yeah. not just some like, you know, hey, I wrote a book, you yeah. know, and I have a podcast, silly guy. Like that gives Ant-Man like an actual serious legacy
mm-hmm.
on top sure. of, you know, oh, I'm like my plan is what saved everyone after the snap. Like that was yep. my idea. And then I used that same kind of science to keep this horrible massacring
evil at bay,
evil yep. scientist at bay, at least yep. enough to warn everybody. But he doesn't survive himself. That would have solidified Kang as dangerous. That would have exited a character off the board who probably needs to be at some point. They got to kill somebody. Like it's a pretty yeah. safe bet to kill Ant-Man, I think. It's his third movie.
I think so.
You know,
yeah.
what is it, like a sixth appearance?
Yep.
Fifth?
Yeah. Well, and he's a character that means a lot to the universe, but not so much that he's integral right. to it.
Right.
And so his death would mean a lot without sacrificing a lot, if yeah. that makes sense. Yeah.
It would make that movie a little bit more of a must-see in retrospect than yeah. it is. I think.
Yep.
I don't know.
I think that he did a good job with the material he was given. I'm curious to see what they do with Kang Dynasty, and how they kind of either retroactively retcon things or whatever they do. I have no idea. The easiest thing to do is just be to continue the Kang storyline with a new actor.
Yeah.
If they feel like it's not, it can't move forward with Jonathan Majors, then, you know, the thing is, if Tom Holland's variants look like Andrew Garfield and Tobey Maguire, then surely Kang's variants don't all look like Jonathan Majors. So
do you have someone in mind to?
No, I have no idea.
So can I tell you John's choice?
Okay, sure.
John, I'm pretty sure it was his idea. I think he arrived at this and I thought it was brilliant. Lakeith Stanfield would be a good choice.
Oh yeah. Yeah, that'd be a great choice.
Not only would he be able to somewhat keep consistent with what Kang has been introduced as,
sure,
you know, the rhythm of his talking and everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But Lakeith Stanfield is also one of those people who, like, oh, wouldn't it be cool to, like, see, like, a big transformation? This skinny dude is, yeah, yeah, like, yeah, now he's like jacked. Mm-hmm. And this guy who you'd never see is like someone that's part of what's cool about it is like Jonathan Majors was a great choice, but it wasn't like he wasn't already this big, strong guy. It's interesting when you see Robert Downey Jr., like the guy who played Charlie Chaplin.
Yes.
The drug addict. So that guy, Lakeith Stanfield is like, oh, that's not a very obvious choice. And then when he like TMZ snaps a picture of him coming out of the gym one day and you're like, holy shit.
Whoa.
It looks good. Yeah. And then his neck is thicker and everything. And
yeah.
I'm going to rule the world. You know, like it just makes sense. But of course it'll never happen. Because now we see it coming.
Yeah.
And I thought that as soon as he said that, I was like, man, that's a good choice.
Yep.
I'd buy Lakeith Stanfield for sure.
With this story, so I want to compare season one and season two for a second. I think season one is probably stronger.
I think
And I'll tell you why. There's a couple things that I think season two does that it doesn't quite earn. And one of those is this idea that B-15 and whatever the analyst guy's name is, like Jerry or Tracy or something.
Casey.
These characters are sorely underwritten. And the idea that they are friends with Mobius and Loki is fine and it's believable, but I don't necessarily feel it. And so there's that. And I don't remember feeling like they were big parts of season one. Like they had things to do, but I wouldn't have called them like, this is the core cast of Loki. And so I think that, you know, whatever they're trying to set up with like this friendship between all of them, I'm not quite sure I buy it. I do like OB. I think that he is a very good addition to the cast. But where they dropped the ball most, I think this season was Sylvie, who was a very integral part of season one and very interesting and had a lot of things to do.
Yeah.
We got to know her. We got to feel kind of what she's feeling and Loki got to know her and they were kind of coasting. It felt like on season two, on the goodwill of their relationship season one, for us to care about that, but they never quite rekindled that flame in this season. So then in the end, when he looks to her and says, for you, for all of us, it doesn't quite hit because I haven't seen them romantically in quite some time. And I've only in season two, you really only see her in one mode, which is, or I guess maybe two. One is I'm going to kill. And two is, well, I'm going to be here, but I don't like it. And I don't think that either of those are particularly, good at instilling what we need in terms of an emotional payoff by the end. I think there has to be some softening of that character or some sort of other gear that she's allowed to work on in order for me to really feel that. Because again, while it worked in season one, it doesn't, because it has been since then that we've really seen any romantic interaction between the two of them, it can't coast on that.
Yeah. I was hoping for more of the continuation of their dynamic in this season and we didn't get it.
Yeah.
You know, overall, I still like the show. I still like the second season, but that is something that was missing that I felt that it would have been nice to work in more of, but I'm sure she hasn't been told anything, but I wonder who, if anyone has ideas for her later.
Yeah. Yeah,
maybe there's none, you know?
Right. Maybe we never see that character again.
Yeah.
I think that'd be a shame, but I could see it.
Yeah, you know, I could see it not happening.
I don't know that there's really much for her to do. Like, there's not really a place for her, right? She can't join the Avengers, really. And maybe she could be a part of another Thor movie. But apart from that, I have a hard time figuring out where she can fit in.
Yeah.
And I have a hard time figuring out what it is exactly that Loki's doing with all of the strands. So can she go to any of those strands at any time? I don't know. Like, obviously with the sacred timeline, it was, this is the timeline and we're pruning everything that doesn't meet this criteria. With Loki, he's essentially holding the multiverse together. He's allowing all of the timelines to coexist. And because they can now coexist, can we slip between them? Can we jump between them? It's strange.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can he let them go?
Can he let them go? I assume no. And
it's gonna hurt.
And if it's an infinite number that's ever growing, how is he going to continue to hold more and more and more of them? Which, I mean, I realize I'm splitting hairs here. I think he's weaving all of the infinite possibilities into those strands and holding all the strands. I don't know. I don't understand the mechanics, but it's fine. If she can, you know, jump between all the multiverses, then maybe we'll see her again. But if there's, I don't know. I don't know that there's really a place for her in our MCU, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I still enjoyed, like, you know, I want to make it clear, like, the critiques that I have are critiques, but they're also like, they don't take away from the fact that I enjoyed the season. And when the episode ended, I clicked on the next one. You know what I mean? Like, it wasn't I didn't do it begrudgingly. It was like, I genuinely wanted to see where this was going. And I do think that the emotional payoff of what Loki does, the choice he makes, is highly satisfying. Even if I don't truly understand it, like we talked about. And I have to give him kudos. Since I gave him a critique, I'm going to give him a kudos for taking a story called Loki and allowing it to actually be about Loki. This has been a problem. Not always, but sometimes you get a story where, you know, it's billed as a story about somebody and it's kind of a weird bait and switch. You think about like Kenobi, right? Kenobi didn't really feel at the end of the day like it was about Kenobi. It felt like it was about everybody else. And Kenobi was just there.
Yeah.
Or, you know, even Hawkeye felt to some degree like it's not really about Hawkeye. It was more about setting up the other lady, whatever her name is.
Kate Bishop.
Kate Bishop. It felt a little bit more like we want to set her up and this is the best vehicle to do that. Loki is about Loki. It doesn't feel like it's a setup for anything. It doesn't feel like it's, you know, just some sort of cog in the machine. It feels like, hey, we had a story we wanted to tell about this character. And the weird thing is, like you had mentioned earlier, the story had already been told. Like we had a version of Loki that had matured and progressed and became somewhat of a hero and sacrificed himself, you know, to Thanos. And that was satisfying. Like that was a satisfying end. And then to say like, oh, hold on, we're going to give you another version of this character with another ending. And it also to be satisfying.
Yeah.
It's highly unlikely,
but nice.
It worked. And it's nice. And it makes Loki retroactively one of the more interesting characters in the MCU. And it's interesting now that they're, you know, in Thor's timeline, there is no other Loki. But in this other timeline, there is a Loki. And it begs the question, if there's also Sylvie and there's also alligator Loki and, you know, child Loki and old man classic Loki and all these other Lokis, what's to stop them from recasting without Tom Hiddleston and bringing in another Loki? They could do anything. And I think that's both frightening because it seems a little bit, again, like a cul-de-sac, like you're taking a character who's done and just not letting go of them. And it's also interesting to think, and it's weird to think that we might never see him again. I think we're going to see some version of Loki again, and it'll probably be the He Who Remains version. But I think we're not quite done with Loki yet.
I don't know. Everyone involved with the show sort of seemed like to give this thank you and goodbye. I mean, obviously Sophie DiMartino did, but like even Tom Hiddleston, like,
put out a video through Marble's page.
Yeah.
It was like, thank you so much. It's been a pleasure playing this character for, you know, so long.
Yep.
Blah, blah, blah. You know, all that stuff that you say when you're done, you know? Yep. And of course it doesn't mean that he is, but I feel like right now, no one has a script that has Loki in it.
Probably not.
You know, unless like, obviously it's part of one of these Avengers films and there's no way in hell he would say, never say never, maybe I'm back. Like,
right,
you don't want people to see that coming.
Yeah. I think with Michael Waldron writing the next two Avengers movies, there's a high likelihood that we'll see this Loki again.
Especially with Kang Dynasty. Again, I can't believe he wasn't already the writer of that. But
right.
I wonder if after, I mean, what, they announced it in November? I mean, didn't the show end in November?
I think so.
Do you think that maybe they were just like, let's see how well this goes. And like, if the show is as well received as we think it will be, then you should be the one writing this script.
Yep.
Because
it could be.
He may have come in and had pitches like, look, like based on everything I'm doing that y'all have seemed to like and the audience has seemed to like, I have ideas for the Kang Dynasty. And I'm sure there's discussions going on about like, how can we make it work both if we keep Jonathan Majors and if we don't keep Jonathan Majors? It has to work both ways. So,
I agree. But I think. Like, if it were me, if I'm Michael Waldron, I'm doing two things right now. I'm thinking, how can I work Loki into it to cement his place in the MCU as the He Who Remains and reunite him with Thor, at least for a scene? But I'm also thinking, man, I want to protect that ending. I don't know what you do.
You do both, man. You got to do both.
Yeah.
You can't have Thor living and never get to see his brother again. Just the one time, just to get closure.
Yeah.
You know,
I think it has to be
have him need something. And then he's like, I'm not going to give it to you. And he's like, really? I'm not going to give it to me. And he says, I'm just kidding. Here it is. Here's the key. Here's the key, right. Brother.
Right.
I was going to mess with you, but that's the old me. Yeah. No, what's the next day? So today, actually, the day I'm posting this is the day that, What If Season 2 comes out. And speaking of release models, the next couple of things we're all over the place. So Loki was once a week.
Yep.
What If is going to be one every day.
Wow.
So it's starting, you know, theoretically, you know, today.
Yeah.
And then it's going to, there's 9 episodes from today through next week and into almost to the new year. Wow. And then Echo is coming out in January.
You sure it's not called What If We Made You Sick of This Product?
I'm not positive, but it is What If ... So
yeah,
I suppose you can put anything there.
Yeah.
In January, we have Echo, and Echo, they're just dropping the whole thing.
Yes.
Yep. So it's like, okay, so Disney's experimenting.
They're trying to figure it out.
I think of all of those models, I think that the weekly, I don't think the What If drop will stick around. One every day is kind of weird.
Yeah.
Because people don't necessarily have the time to do that.
Right.
To like plan their entire day several days in a row around watching one episode of your thing.
Right.
People usually do that like by choice.
Right.
If they have access to the thing.
Right. Yep.
So I don't know. A 22-minute episode of What If, like not even, it doesn't mimic any existing model. It doesn't mimic the network model. It doesn't mimic the Netflix model. It doesn't mimic anything. Yep. It's just, fuck it. I don't know. Let's try it. Shit.
Just go. Yeah. It's weird. It becomes like the Good Morning America of Marvel shows. Watch this every morning with breakfast. I don't know. And it's weird because we've gone back and forth, obviously, you and me, about which we prefer. And I think it's case by case. Like for me, Loki is a series that has enough mystery in it that I want the answers now. I don't want to wait for them. Echo is a series where it feels like maybe you could wait week to week because it feels more procedural or whatever. Yeah. But then I'm also like, but also what's the point of waiting anymore? Like I understand back when TV was, first being created, like, and then on through the network model was always like, we're going to create these episodes, and they're kind of like on this slightly ahead of release date schedule where, you know, they start filming late summer and a few weeks later that first episode drops and they're, you know, two or three episodes in, three or four or five episodes in, and then they take a break at Christmas and then, you know, whatever, and they do another batch of them. And so it always made sense that it's released week to week because they haven't banked them all. But now I don't understand the point in continuing that model if you have them all. And it's just to prolong the buzz about it.
I always thought that weekly was the best thing to do because it builds, it builds buzz. It builds buzz. It keeps a conversation around it and it allows people time to catch up. And it prevents other people from getting too far ahead and spoiling it for everybody.
Yeah.
That's what I like about weekly.
Yeah.
But I will say that perhaps at scale, that's the best way to follow one show, in my opinion.
Yeah.
But if you're Disney Plus and you're competing with other streaming services that drop all at once, or even if they don't drop all at once, I think Disney is experimenting with trying to figure out what is our day of the week going to be, because it was Fridays and then like Loki was on Thursdays or something.
Yeah.
And then there was Wednesdays for a while. So it's like they don't even know what day they want to make it. And I wonder if it's because they're trying to like, well, how do we, if it's always Wednesday, we can never have a new show on top of each other or else we're splitting the audience.
Mm-hmm.
And then someone says, hey, it doesn't matter, dickhead. Like, it's all our service. Who cares which show they're watching?
Yep.
But then it's like, okay, well, we want to know which show they are watching so we can tell which show we should keep making and which show we shouldn't make.
Yep.
And so, like, I'm not sure what, there's all kinds of things that could be driving that decision. So I think that dropping it all at once might be something that they think, listen, like, we've got to get people, like, what's better? If people who aren't subscribed to Disney Plus wait until it is bingeable to subscribe, because even though it builds a conversation and it gets people wondering what's going on the show, how many people, most people are going to go, yeah, but I'm just going to wait.
Yeah.
Because that's what I do. If I'm not subscribed to a service, I wait till the show is within a month of finishing, then I subscribe. So for them, it's like, well, why don't we then just drop it all at once? And then that person who would wait would go, oh, shit, it's there now.
Mm-hmm.
I need to get this now. And then within a month, we've released something else and then they'll stay.
Yes. I also wonder if releasing something like Echo all at once is some sort of weird course correction for Secret Invasion, where they're thinking, okay, buzz over an amount of time works, but really only if it's good.
The show's good.
Yeah, it's true. Because if you look at those Secret Invasion numbers, I don't know what they are, but they dropped.
It was just a new week of like, this show's bad. And people oh, shit.
And the viewership trailed off and the conversation died.
We just have to wait in agony while this show finishes releasing.
Yep.
Like after those first two and everyone was like, this might suck. Disney goes to like the people and like, hey, can we see the screenings of the rest of these episodes? And they look at them and like, shit, this doesn't get better.
Oh, no. Yeah.
What can we do? Nothing.
Yeah. Yep. You just have to bear and grin it.
God. And
grin and bear it. What is that?
You have to bear it.
You have to bear it.
Bear but smiles.
I wonder if it's some weird course correction. Like, okay, if we release it all at once, maybe it's good, maybe it sucks. It doesn't matter because we've got, like, we have everybody talking for, you know, 3 days, 3 to 5 days after it drops.
Yeah.
All about that. And, you know, we don't have to worry about the loss of viewership because everyone's going to watch it in 3 days anyway. And I don't know, man. It's weird.
The Jack Ryan, I think it was only like 4 or 5 episodes the whole last season was, but they did like 2 episodes on Friday.
Yeah.
And then the next 2 episodes were dropped like the next Friday.
Yeah.
It's like do something like that. I don't know.
Sure. Yeah.
Like a couple, so you can at least watch a run of them.
Yep.
But I don't know.
It also depends on how serialized your show is, right? Like if we're talking about, you know, classic TV where it's, you know, just pop in and watch an episode, CSI or whatever, then there's no sense in doing a binge. But if you're talking about like a highly serialized mini series, essentially, then yeah, I mean, this is just a really long movie. So it makes sense to drop it all at once.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of things to consider. Part of me wishes it wasn't case by case and that there was some sort of consistent thing where, okay, this is a new Marvel show. I know exactly how it's being released and when, and I don't have to think about it.
Yeah.
But the other part of me is like, but I understand the difference between all of this. And like I said, I go back and forth too. Sometimes I'm like, no, that weekly model is the best model because, you know, it really drives that sense of community around a show. But again, the show's got to be good and it's got to be the right show to do that. And I don't trust that Marvel can create that right show right now, even after Loki, which was good.
Are there any other shows after, I mean, besides the ones we just mentioned?
Ironheart eventually.
Oh yeah.
And Armor Wars. I guess that's still happening.
That's a movie now though.
Oh, is it? Right? Oh, okay. I don't know.
Oh yeah. Maybe. At a certain point back, they changed that to a film.
Oh wow.
Yeah. Okay. So this phase, Secret Invasion, Loki, What If, Echo. Then there's this Agatha.
Yep.
Which it's no longer Coven of Chaos, by the way. It's Darkhold Diaries.
Yep.
Which I'm not even sure when that changed.
Yep. Daredevil's still happening at some point.
Is it? Okay. I thought I heard
it is.
It's off the board. Oh, there it is. Okay. But I know that they like scrapped.
Yeah.
They scrapped everything. Just
restarted.
Yeah. They like looked at all the what was being filmed. They were like, this isn't working. And they're just.
Yep. And
Eyes of Wakanda.
Yeah. This is new. I was going to say that's been around for a while. I don't know if there's any update on it lately, but Ryan Coogler, I think, has been working on it.
Boy. And this is, and this is live action.
Yep.
Oh boy.
And then I'm looking at a list right now. Here's some I did not know about. Vision Quest.
What?
At the end of WandaVision, a resuscitated weird white version of Vision entered the MCU. Where is he now?
I'm not seeing that.
WandaVision's Jack Schaefer will return as head writer with Paul Bettany set to reprise his role as Vision. There's Wonder Man, which of course is
oh, hang on. I need
helped
to look
by
at the-
Destin Daniel Cretton. And stars Yahya Abdul-Mateen the second.
Sorry. You're looking at phase six. I was like, where is all this?
I'm looking at everything they've announced TV wise. And
friendly
evidently
Spider-Man.
What's that?
Your friendly neighborhood Spider-Man is something.
Spider-Man freshman year.
Yeah, but they've changed it.
Oh, did they? Oh, okay.
It's
an animated series.
Okay.
It's going to explore Peter's like him actually getting bit by the spider and all of that.
Uh-huh.
But it's MCU version, I guess.
Why?
I don't know. And I guess they'll finally show us Uncle Ben. I don't know.
And then we've got your friendly neighborhood Spider-Man is set in an alternate reality from the main MCU continuity in which Norman Osborn is Peter Parker's mentor instead of Tony Stark. Charlie Cox voices Matt Murdock, Daredevil. The series features Osborn and Otto Octavius following the appearances of other versions of the characters in Spider-Man No Way Home, along with Mac Gargan and Dr. Stephen Strange and Nico Minoru, who appeared in the Marvel television series Runaway. This is a mess.
Yeah, I don't know about
what
that.
What the hell? Why?
I don't know about that.
We're going to put him in an alternate timeline, but we're going to have the same guy who's Daredevil voice him in this alternate timeline where he's also met him. This is just, oh man. I don't want to do this. I don't want to do Marvel Zombies. I really don't care about Eyes of Wakanda. Mm-hmm. I really don't want to see. I just don't care. This is all lore to me.
Yeah.
I don't need this.
Yep.
Why are we doing this?
Don't know.
And this is after they say we should scale down?
Yep. And don't forget, they've also announced Nova.
Nova, yeah.
Yep.
God. Sorry.
Which features the return of John C. Reilly and Glenn Close.
What?
Part of the Nova Corps.
But wouldn't they be dead? didn't Thanos kill them all when he took the Power Stone? Didn't he go to Xandar and just kill the Nova Corps?
Couldn't tell you.
Feel like that's what would have happened.
Don't know. But here's a report that says Nova Project has reportedly been scrapped, and this is from August of this year.
Oh boy. All right.
So maybe it's not happening. I have no idea.
I need to stop. I need to stop this. This is hurting my head.
Yep.
All right. Loki's worth it, everybody.
Loki's worth it.
All right. Enough said.
Enough said.
Enough said.
Enough said.